Broadcasting 2.0 for October 21st, 2022, episode 107. It's Clippy for Developers. Well, hello, everybody. Welcome once again to the official board meeting of Podcasting 2.0. Everything going on with now and the future of podcasting. It's because this is where it all happens. It's where the directors come together and discuss what's happening at podcastindex.org, the namespace, and, of course, the creative genius of podcastindex.social. And I'm Adam Curry here in the heart of the Texas Hill Country in Alabama with a promise to keep us on the namespace rails today. Say hello to my friend on the other end, Mr. Dave Jones.
I feel like I'm going to have a lockup today. I feel like I'm going to have a boot. I feel like that's going to happen. I rebooted before the show, and everything is 5x5. I'm in the pipe, but I just have this sneaking suspicion. I have a what would you call that? Like a, what is that? Where you like a superstition?
Premonition.
Premonition. Yes. I'm premonitionalizing that I'm going to have a boot.
You know, in the old country, we say, de schoenmaker's kinderen heeft geen schoenen.
I said that this morning.
Well, you basically just did, because the shoemaker's children have no shoes, is what it means. Okay.
I sit in the bathroom, though, when I was, like, after my first cup of coffee. So,
I just want to point out that, you know, you as a guy who actually keeps systems running professionally, I mean, you've let this particular machine just mess with you for months.
Mm-hmm.
Is there anything you want to talk about? Something? Show me where on the screen the computer hurt you, Dave.
this it's after my. So I have two philosophies with there's two competing philosophies. Hopefully, within the mind of every IT admin.
Mm-hmm.
There are two competing priorities. Priority number one is don't let things get too far behind. You need to stay up to date so that you can get patches and stay current with fixes and improvements and security patches and that kind of thing. Priority number two is never change something that is working.
Working.
Yes.
If it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Yeah, I am firmly between a rock and a hard place with this computer. When it's working, it's great. And see, this is all plays into the Umbral, because this is also my Umbral. And so I'm like,
this is why it's a problem. Yeah, you should really separate those two. That's the issue.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, proper separation of concerns. And so it's biting me.
This is a very bad idea. You know, that laptop, the Surface Pro 6 that I finally got the Umbral working on. That one actually upgraded to 0.5 beautifully. I just haven't touched it. I haven't breathed around it. I tiptoe past it, and it's been up. I'm gonna knock on wood right now, because it's been up for months.
No, you just screwed it.
So I know.
Why did you even say this? It's my fault.
I like running with scissors.
We're firmly doing that exactly. I mean, like, in 100 different ways, we're running with scissors. I live updated the API this morning with with a new property. There's no production. By the way, there's no difference between production and development environments with Podcast Index API.
It's just there.
It's all production. It's all production.
It's one there. In fact, if you do a pull request, it just goes live. Don't even worry about it. It's boom.
Somebody said, you know, people make comments and stuff like Spurlog did this morning. I was like, wow, that's fast. Like, yeah, there's a reason it's fast, because I didn't test it. Now, I did actually test it.
What was this update to the API?
It's returning the podcast GUID in the search results now, which I didn't realize it wasn't doing.
Mm-hmm. Which is critical for OP3.
I guess. I'm not sure what he's doing over there. I guess he's rolling things up into a GUID.
It's so funny, because... Because I also don't really know what he's doing, but I feel good contributing my data twice a week.
I feel very out of the loop this week. I've been tied up with a lot of personal stuff and the job. You know, I hired a new guy, a third IT guy to help me at the office. And long term, it's going to be great. He's going to work out just fine, and it's going to take a lot of stress and workload.
You have to shape him and mold him in your image.
Yes, that's the hard part. Is the you know, the weeks and weeks of training that has to happen. So that's been chewing up a lot of time.
No,
and
my son
moves out tomorrow. He's moving out on his own.
He's
18.
Is he working or going to school?
Both working and going to school.
Good boy. Good lad.
Yeah.
No more motorcycles.
In the welding program.
Yeah. No more
motorcycles. No.
Cool. CO2 mainly or all kinds of welding?
He's doing, every type. He's doing stick, MIG, TIG, pipe welding.
Excellent. Can he get a hold of a thermal lance for me? I have some ideas.
What is that? lance.
You can cut through the safe.
Oh, okay. Like a plasma cutter or whatever.
Yeah, one of those.
Oh, yeah.
In case there's one in the shop, just let me know.
Yeah, it is bittersweet, Stephen. You're right. Yeah, very bittersweet. We've been hanging out a lot. We hung out. Did you get my clips, by the way?
I did, of course. Yeah.
Okay. So me and my son went to the movies last night. We've just been hanging out a lot and getting some time in and stuff before he moves out. And so we went to the movies. And at the theater, they have this thing called, it's a pretzel. It's like a giant pretzel.
Yeah.
It's called the Bavarian Legend, which is the greatest name ever for a pretzel. This thing, okay, there's a picture of it in the clips. If you look at the JPEG.
You know me, I don't look at stuff like that.
Yeah, you don't peek.
Okay, Bavarian Legend. Now I see the title.
Yeah.
Okay, firing it up. Oh my goodness.
It's 1.5 pounds of pretzel.
They don't even know what a pretzel is in Germany. They've never even heard of a pretzel. I'm not kidding.
It's true. It is 1.5 pounds.
Wow.
It also has 1,940 calories and 339 carbs.
Oh my goodness. I'm going to put it in the show notes so people get it. Is that your dog growling?
Hey, actually, hang on. Let me go let him out. Hold on. I will return.
Very legend. Oh, this is too good. That is a beautiful piece of pretzel work.
All right, I'm back.
Very, very professional.
I didn't know you could hear that.
Hear what?
I could barely hear it. The dog.
I'm used to it because usually it's my dog and I'm looking like she's not in here. So
you're tuned in. Like you got it.
Yeah. Well, she's the early warning defense system.
I let him out without any consideration whether there's chickens loose out there. So they're all on their own. They're just going to have to figure it out.
So, you know, besides the fact that, you know, of course, it's bittersweet. Your son's leaving the house. He's flying the coop, so to speak. Now, the real downside is it's uneven. It's two chicks against you.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, this is that just means tough. Dave gets more alone time.
Y'all want to go shopping together?
Yeah. Like, all right. See you guys later. I'll try to hold the phone.
Yeah, very misogynist of us.
Yes.
I don't know about you. It feels kind of good to finally be able to talk about Pocket Cast being open source.
Yeah, that was killing me. I wanted to tell about 25 people, but I could not say a word. So
and I think this was probably, you know, a well-kept, you know, a well-known secret in the last month or two. But we had, I had a chat with Matt, how was it, like 3-4 months ago?
Mm-hmm. Yes, something like that.
And then he connected us with the whole team there, and we had a nice chat with them. And what was interesting is that first of all, that's when they say, you know, it's not public yet, but we're going to open source it. So that's what we need to do first. And then they were like, I mean, Matt was like, how can we not be all in on this? And then the team itself was like, yeah, we love all the extra features and stuff. But this value for value, they were really drawn to that.
That's what took us both by surprise is that I guess it's just the nature of people who believe in the utility of crypto or digital currencies is that, you know, you expect pushback from everybody all the time. And so you always kind of tiptoe into it. You're like, you know, there's this way you can, you know, we also have this other thing where there's this way you can do electronic payments, small payments to and for, you know, and you expect it's like, nah, we're not interested in that, you know, but they were like, yeah, that's cool. Tell me more about that.
We actually left that as usual to the end. Like, yeah, we'll talk about that later. And no, what, bring that forward. What was that?
Yeah, they were like, well, all that stuff's great, but tell me more about this crypto, you know, this Bitcoin thing. It's like, oh, okay.
Now, I know, I know you've been busy, so I don't even have an opportunity to look. I certainly haven't, but I've been reading some of the reports. So from what I understand, they open source the code for the app, but that the app relies, of course, I think like almost everybody's app, on a back end. And the back end consists of their database. It consists of their user database, and I'm sure some kind of, you know, system where user data is stored. Is this something? What is the intent of this if it doesn't have kind of a description of what these, I guess, API calls do, and is that replicable? Is that, I mean, you know what I mean? It's like it's a little confusing to me. I guess I didn't really consider it.
Yeah, I haven't been interacting much on the social this week, but I've definitely been keeping track of everything. And what it looks like is they released the source code for the Android app and the iOS app. Mm-hmm. So that's what their main release was, which is great. And I think Mitch was saying, well, you know, they didn't release the code for the API, the website, the desktop product. And so it's not a complete open sourcing of everything. I don't know what they're going to do, but I mean, this is WordPress. They open source everything. So right. I have to think right. that eventually over time they will open source it. But at the same time, I mean, WordPress.com, like their official hosting platform, I don't think that is open source. I think it's just the community product that is WordPress that's open source.
But you can run a WordPress standalone. You can fire it up. Mm-hmm. This app, you can't.
Right. Yeah. So you would have to have some sort of back end that you rolled yourself. So with stuff like this, I wouldn't expect that people would just make a clone of Pocket Casts. Maybe I'm wrong. I mean, I can just speak for myself. If I was going to do something with this code, I can't imagine that I would just like rebrand this and sort of white label this and compile it and go. I feel like what the benefit of this thing is seeing what is pulling code out and being able to like fast track your own app with some stuff that you are struggling with by pulling this code in. I feel like it's more of a pure open source play in that sense, rather than like here's this app that everybody can just kind of put their own logo on and recompile.
So here was my thinking about it. Depending on, you know, what their system does, it seems perhaps worthwhile if there's this, yeah, and there's more than one, but this is a lot of hands have been on this app. A lot of people really like it. They're kind of, you know, if there was a way to say, okay, you whatever was connected to Pocket Cast HQ, now connect that to your own server, and here's the index part. Obviously, a lot of those calls probably we have already. Is that then something that can be used as a template that actually can let people just put their logo on it, which I'm not necessarily against?
It's possible. I mean, the one thing I don't know, because I have not looked at the code, is I don't know how much of this is legacy code.
Mm-hmm. It might be a mess. Who knows?
That's what I was thinking. It really could be a mess. I mean, if they've been pulling forward code for how long has Pocket Cast been around? 10 years?
Well, it's a lot of different hands. That's the thing.
Lots of different people. There may be a lot, like on the iOS side, there could be tons of Objective-C code still in there for things like old classes that they never really touch. It's like, okay, this thing just works, and we're not going to go back and rewrite this in Swift. This could be a mishmash of all kinds. There could be C code in there, all kinds of things. I don't know. Right. You know, as a matter of fact, I'm just going to take a gander at that real quick.
It seemed like the overall messaging was, you know, this is a great way for people to help with bugs and request features, which I think arguably that's, you know, I think they've got a lot of people helping with that, a lot of people who are very dedicated to the app. Now, do they charge for a premium experience, or is it free all the way around?
Yeesh, I don't know. I hope so. I hope they charge. I don't know.
I don't actually know.
Yeah, I don't either. Let's see. Pocket Cast iOS. I'm just looking at the iOS thing because I don't know anything about the Android side. There is a little bit of Objective-C in there. Oh, 97% of it is Swift. So that's good.
Yeah, they have Pocket Cast Plus.
Okay.
There you go. So that's their, what do you get for Pocket Cast Plus?
Yeah, so it looks like a lot of their Objective-C stuff is just utility code. It's a chapter reader, media metadata, watch app extension. Yeah, like this looks like a relatively well-kept code base. Like it's pretty modern, it seems.
Yeah, $1 a month, 99 cents.
No, I wish people would charge more.
Yeah. Anyway, okay. Well, good.
Yeah.
So we're very happy, and I'm going to circle back with Matt and say, hey,
put a pin in it.
Hey, man, congratulations. Great release. Now, what's the word, Johannesburg?
Well, I think it's time to ping them up and see what's going on again.
Yeah, I think that's a good idea.
What do you think is going to happen with this code? What people have been wanting for a while is like a real good 2.0 reference app that has a lot of modern features combined with a lot of well established features. And so some of the knock, if there is one, on 2.0 apps is that quite a few of them grew up, but were born as new apps and didn't have, especially on the mobile side. So they're sort of playing catch up with some of the more well-established, like tried and true things that podcast apps do. And so they have like new features, but they don't have, I'm thinking of things like Podfriend. So I could see this as being like a way to just shortcut that whole thing where you go in, build this app, play around with it, begin to see how it's put together. I could see this, and then like you said, attach the index on the backside of it. I'm hoping to see right out of the gate. I'm hoping to see pull requests submitted back to them that have like it just somebody some has does a PR. It has a PR that says add cloud chapters.
Right. I think that feels like that's what's destined to happen because there's enough people who really like Pocket Cast that the PRs will be for 2.0 stuff. And I think that over time, it's going to take a while, right? It's just going to take quite a while before you see that starting to show up in the production version. In the meantime, there's a lot of, I use all different apps for different reasons. None of them really has it all. I think that if you want to be on the cutting edge and you want to have the current features and the new features kind of always, then, there's many other alternatives.
It was really wise of them to not commit to development time to 2.0 features until after they open sourced it, because then that may just save them work.
Well, of course, that's the beauty of it. And, all the extra, like, look, they're charging for all these great features that people like. So, I don't even know if those, I bet they didn't open source the Pocket Cast Plus. I mean, there's a lot of features that you get in Pocket Cast Plus. So that's their sauce. And that's kind of how it should be. It's like if Cast-O-Matic had an Android version, I'd be pretty interested. I'm very interested in the actual sound. But of course, that could never happen because of the iOS libraries, etc. I don't know. I think when I hear people say, I'm like, I don't know. It's very, very personal. I mean, see how long and how many people were using Dogcatcher, completely unsupported. Piece of crap ultimately because it broke. I broke it.
We broke it.
But how many people really like it? and probably still use it and probably get another app just to listen to, you know, this show or whatever was breaking it. I'm not so sure. I really don't know.
Yeah, some guy on Twitter was dogging out one of the app developers, and he was like, I had to come over from Dog Catcher. I'm like, oh man, you're dogging out
I told him, pump the brakes, buddy.
Pump the brakes.
Yeah, it was. Now that turned out to be okay, and Mitch jumped in, and
it was Podverse. That's right.
Yeah. I was like, hey, easy does it, pal. I don't know. It's to me, it's. Again, it's what can you create that is of value in your app? Whatever that value is, you got to remember to find a way to ask people for it. And you know, I see very elegant solutions from CurioCaster and Podverse on how to support. And there's premium versions, and so that's where the focus has to go. I mean, you need to understand the type of person who uses your app. I mean, someone was asking me the Meat Mafia were here. And so we were talking about stuff. And they say, what apps? There's so many different experiences. It's like there's a huge blind and poorly sighted community who, of course, are well served by Podverse.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Podverse right now is, it's funny, Mitch is like, hey, why is traffic up for Podverse? Is that because people are interested in open source and have looked around for apps and found Podverse? I said, maybe. Maybe also because I keep promoting it on No Agenda as the app to listen to the show live with the Troll Room.
Yeah, there you go.
Maybe. So
perhaps.
So I'm just saying, it's like, you know, I just don't buy into the apps are behind or they're immature, or I think that's an opinion. I still use CurioCaster the most. I don't know why.
No,
it's just a web app.
I would never use the term immature. I think here's the way I see that idea develop is this: people get it's here would be the thing. Somebody looks at Freedom Controller for the first time, sees the way that it does RSS feed news feeds, and says, I really wish this had an inbox view.
Right.
Like that's the type of thing you get. It's like, well, that doesn't mean that it's behind. It just means that's not what we do. I mean, that's not what I want the product to be. And so, like, there's this idea when the developer has a vision, when you come into a market, In into an existing market where there's already a bunch of players that have been doing things a very similar way. RSS feed readers are a great example. Things like Newsbin and Feedly and those kinds of things. And at once upon a time, Google Reader, there was a certain way that those UIs developed. And then one person would do one thing, would add a feature. And then they would all have to copy it because they need, you know, they're scared that they're going to be taken away. Everybody's copying everybody all the time. And so before long, you know, after a decade, you end up with a whole bunch of apps that look almost the same, really. I mean, they'll have slight variation between them, but of things they emphasize. But for the most part, they all have the same feature set. And so then you have a new thing that comes along like 2.0 where apps are like, okay, we're going to embrace this fully, and we're going to start an app that right out of the gate embraces this. Well, those developers may not care so much about this conforming to the legacy mindset of the legacy milieu of what these other apps did. And so then, and other people interpret that as, oh, well, it doesn't even do so-and-so.
Yes. So case in point, Podverse, I think Clips, the way Podverse does their clips and surfaces them, clips of other shows or shows that you're subscribed to or not subscribed to, that's not something that you can get in every single legacy app. Fountain. I have to say that Tina really got into the social networking aspect of it. She's like, oh, I'm following. Really? Yeah, okay. I'm following. So she found a clip Now, it was a simple one because she found, you know, you open it up, you get a clip. She found a clip and she said, who did this clip? Oh, it's Chad F. So then she follows Chad F. And now she's like, oh, this is a cool clip from a different podcast. And then she starts to listen to other podcasts. I mean, I saw it work before my very eyes. It's not mm-hmm. for me, you know, because I look at that little alarm bell and there's 50 in there and I get anxious. I'm like, nah.
Yeah, my ADD can't handle that. That's not,
like, as long as there's a clear all button that, you know, so of course I don't use it. Sometimes I'll dive in to explore. So that's something very, very different. But yeah, on the other hand, you know, there's the Android Auto doesn't work. You know, so yeah, mm-hmm. I think what you said is correct. It doesn't even do CarPlay, you know, whereas that's quite specific. But this functionality is coming up. And these are, to me, it's no different than one man rock bands, and you're going to have your core group, and they're always going to buy the merch, and they show up for every single release, every single show, and notice the similarity for the release. Mm-hmm. You get groupies, but usually pretty poor quality.
Well, you've got that thing at, like, here's an example. Sleep timer. There's like a lot of podcast apps have a sleep timer.
Yeah. That was missing from CurioCaster for a long time.
Yeah. I have no earthly desire to ever have that in an app. I'm never going to go to sleep to a podcast. That's just not that I would have never even thought to suggest such a thing.
There you go.
And then other people are like, oh, this is a deal breaker.
You know,
okay.
I'm not really kidding when I say this. There are software developers who I follow, and I follow them for their art, for their creations. I'm fortunate enough to work with a bona fide genius. I mean, Van Gogh level, Dave Jones, Vincent Van Jones.
I thought you were talking about Alex.
But I'm just saying. I still follow Dave Weiner's development, even though there's a lot of issues and a lot of chuckling. But mm-hmm. I follow, and I think that, you know, Rock Band. Yeah, I think there's developers who like Marco. He's also a rock star in a way. And I hate saying that because the next one is Ninja and all that bullshit. Silicon Valley talks about developers, sure, but I'm really making the true comparison. And software developers, in fact, used to sell software in little baggies with a disc in there, very analogous to drugs. You know, mm-hmm. But you can also say it was records or CDs. So getting to know your audience, your people who feed back, your users, you know, your almost partners, they're going to help you make the app better. It's something mm-hmm. that, you know, I'm sure a lot of people do it just subconsciously, makes kind of sense, but is it just a GitHub feedback loop, or is it a real conversation that you're able to have surrounding the software? Do you understand what I'm saying? I mean, I don't see it any mm-hmm. different than a podcast product. That relationship, and that ultimately is going to get the value that you just feel you deserve or that you put in to the creation. No matter how the money flows, it will happen if you can build that kind of communication.
Well, I feel like that's probably the same. That really is the power of open source.
Yeah.
When you open, and I guess, you know, Pocket Casts will discover this over time. When you open source something, and that's why I'm going to use the word addicted. I think there is a real mindset shift that happens when people begin to open source things. You do kind of get addicted to it because there's a
feedback. It's like nudism. You know what I mean? Like you finally, you're like looking around, you see no one cares, you take your clothes off, and then it's like, wow, how come I haven't been doing this all the time?
And next thing you know, you're in the supermarket at the deli and you're swinging in the breeze. Yeah.
And the cops coming. Yeah.
Yeah. Now, there's a real sort of addictive quality to throwing things out there and creating a feedback loop. It really isn't exciting to throw something up on a public repo and see the comments come back, see people making suggestions, pull requests. Those things are real help, and it makes you feel like it's not just you going it alone. And it generates excitement about things.
And this just something I wanted to throw in just before I forget, and I'm not sure mm-hmm. it belongs here, but I was thinking about if the way people can help and participate and invest in software. And I'm just taking this analogy further. And I was thinking this morning, like, I need to remind people that you can actually go to some friends and family and say, hey, you know, I need $1,000 to start a podcast. I can buy some gear. I can get going, do a little bit of marketing, have a website, get a host, etc. And then, you know, I'm from day one, I put you in 50% of the value split. And then, you know, it's all transparent. And then by the, you know, when you see where you need to, where we need to be or whatever the number was, then we reduce that, etc. And it's a really nice way to have people help you out and get started with an immediate, I mean, investors love that when they see money coming back immediately, even if it's a sat at a time. Mm-hmm. Same goes for software. I feel that, you know, why, if you're doing 4% on an app and, you know, you need some cash to not have to work a second job, and then you could put an investor into a split right away. My mind is just running rampant with ideas how we can reform the whole way we work. And the podcasting 2.0 is, I think, a great example of just that.
You want to play this might be appropriate for this clip. There's this, so, and it's on my mind because my son's moving out into an apartment. I don't know if you've seen apartments lately, but the rent is outrageous.
Oh yeah, it's $3,000 a month is just a starter.
Yeah, here in Birmingham, I mean, like it's no joke. $2,000. This is a small market, so I mean, it's $2,000 for a, you know, for a decent two bedroom, and so it's got like they got below that, but the you know the amenities or what they're selling, it's like there's everything, and
you will own nothing.
Yeah. And play to get a load of this clip.
I saw a leasing offer online. It popped up on the screen for new apartments near a college campus. And they're luxury apartments. They're obviously for rich kids that go to school. And they feature a coffee shop, a rooftop pool, all these, an electronic sports area with all this stuff and free gaming and Wi-Fi and all these things. And it said podcast studios. They've built podcast studios at apartment complex because the kids all want to do podcasts. They have a selfie screen, a green screen where you can do all this electronic stuff. This is what all the kids, everybody, all the young people all want to do this. So the running joke in what I do for a living is there's a million people. There's more than a million people out there doing podcasts. Everybody's doing it.
You can stop it.
It's not very many.
That's funny. I mean, like, it's just... I was thinking when you were talking, I'm like, well, okay, you got the podcast studio, just have a default split in there for the apartment complex or something like that. Well, there's how you get you repay yourself for the investment of the technology.
Sadly, all of this is going to come crashing down upon itself. All these amenities are going to go away. It's going to be empty racks. People will not, there's going to be rats in the hallway.
My kids they both work and go to school, but they both have good jobs for their age. Mm-hmm. So like they both have well-paying part-time jobs that they use to help get themselves through school. And if they can't even afford these places, then it's outrageous. It's not going to last. Yeah. Because nobody can.
No, we've been through that. The era of free money is over.
I've got another clip in here, and I think this may be more, I would like to maybe get into the namespace with this.
No, we'd have to, definitely.
Okay. So this is from Coder Radio, and they were talking about some other things like GitHub's Copilot feature, which has been a lot in the news. Do you even know what that is?
No, I don't. I don't.
Okay, so Copilot is a GitHub thing where it's sort of like autocomplete for entire sections of code.
Okay.
It's supposed to be AI driven, and the idea here is that, like, okay, I look, it's like Clippy, you know, Clippy. Oh, it looks like you're writing an essay. Or right, it looks like you're writing a resume.
Would you like a HTTP request code block?
Exactly. That's exactly what it is. Exactly. It's exactly. It's Clippy, like ASCII-soup, Clippy for developers. And so you can say, you know, function space, fetch HTTP. And it's like, oh, boom, autocomplete. Do you want this?
Right.
And it gives you a whole function that does an HTTP get request. And you're like, okay. And you hit tab and you've got a function. So, and it's supposed to be like AI driven. Uh-huh. But then what happens is, you know, people start noticing this code looks really familiar. Of course they would. Of course this is going to happen. And then there's like supposedly the setting in there where you can go in and turn off certain licensed software or GPL. I guess you can just set your restrictions of how it filters.
Huh.
And then in certain situations, you autocomplete this thing, and it is exact code out of people's repositories. Like
so just
licensed code.
Oh, just pulling it from anywhere that it knows that it lives inside its repos, and then it just like whoop, autocomplete that. Oh, that's nice. You
know, like identical. Like this guy shows like screenshots of like, hey, here's my you know, matrix function or whatever over here on the left, and here's what GitHub Copilot suggests, and they look identical.
And so they're didn't open source the code, he's just using GitHub.
Right.
Right. Well, now can I just say, does this surprise anybody? We knew this would happen. We knew that eventually it would get evil once it was sold. Hello.
So, but anyway, that's the topic they're on, and they get onto this thing of how to handle GitHub issues. And go ahead and play it, and then we'll comment on it.
Every project is unique. Everybody has different use cases, because you could argue that also in a free software project, people open up a lot of bogus PRs and a lot of bogus issues that the project's never going to touch, and they pile up and they pile up and they become overwhelming and demotivating to the developers because they have hundreds of open issues that they're never going to touch, but they don't know what to do. Like, we have a small GitHub for Jupyter Broadcasting, and that's already come up a couple of times. And it's like, well, what do you do with these issues that don't really fit here? They're not really a problem. They're more of somebody's opinion. Like, what do you do? Do you just close it? Do you say thanks for your contribution, then close it? Do you just let something come along and clean it up? Like, there really is never a right answer.
Oh, yeah, I know the answer. You just swipe left.
we have this issue already on the namespace.
Of course. And I think if we didn't have podcast index.social, I think it would have been a lot worse.
Yeah, and there's 133 issues open in the namespace. Now, I want to emphasize the thing that he said, which is there's no good answer to what to do with some of these.
Right.
There's like, you go back and then let me just flip through here and see if I can pick one at random. Okay. Well, here's one for, a podcast ID feedback from, looks like December of 2020. And, or here's one from shared and subscribable block lists. From Brian of London from December of 2020. I mean, I don't know what to do with this. It's possible that there may be content in here that's useful. But then again, I'm like, well, I mean, if nothing's been done with this in 2 years, what am I supposed to do with this issue? And the point he makes that when new people come to the namespace repo and they see 133 open issues, it looks like we're not doing anything.
Right.
It looks like progress is not being made because there's just this immense amount of open issues, you know? So maybe, I'm not sure. I guess I'm asking your advice.
Maybe we ask people to go review their open issues and prune, self-prune, maybe rewrite.
Hmm. Hmm.
I mean, it's going to be a small group, I would say. Now, how many? 133, you said?
Mm-hmm.
Magic number. 133. Yeah. How many of those are Daniel J. Lewis? About 100? We love you, Daniel J.
Okay, Daniel's a perfect example. Thank you for bringing him up. I don't know what to do with a lot of his issues because they are more like, a lot of them are more like commentary than they are like action items.
Right.
Some of them are, but a lot of times it's like, here's what I think should be, you know, changed or what.
How are these categorized? Can you categorize them? Because if you look at it, I mean, so there's suggestions, you know, gets a ranking, probably a lower ranking. There's stuff, I mean, there's stuff that, you know, is an immediate benefit to someone or a bug, and bug is, of course, clear what needs to be done with that. It needs to be put in the bug queue. But, you know, can you, with GitHub, can you rank that for a view somehow that we can just find out what needs to be done? We need a secretary. We need an intern. There we go.
An intern. Yes, we need an intern. I get it. Yes, you have to read the issues. I understand that, Ice Cube Soup. And the problem is, here's the issue. I don't want to come across as a dick. You know, I don't want to be like, okay, well, I'm closing this. And it's like, yeah, well, that issue was important to me.
Why are you worried if people show up and think that, oh, they don't respond to anything? That's people who haven't actually looked. I mean, that seems to be the core problem. The problem is we look like we're not responding to it, which you're taking personally, I think.
Maybe. I don't want to be the dictator that's like, yeah, no, and close it.
No, just close it and then sign it as James.
Oh, that's like a perfect weasel solution to this problem. Yeah. I love it.
Yes. Have James do it.
All right, done.
But I understand, and I think the first thing is everybody can just go take a look and see if you're open issues are still relevant. If it's really an issue, has it maybe been hashed out somewhere else? Mm-hmm. And then just close it. Just close your stuff.
Okay, that's a good way to have. Because
help Dave. Round one.
Everybody close their own stuff if they're not super proud of it or if they don't really really believe in it strongly. And then I will go through and make the a-hole sweep. And start cleaning stuff up.
I think that's fair. That's fair.
Yeah, I mean, because they can always be reopened. You can always reopen it. You can petition to me or James and say, hey, you know, I spent 2 hours on this proposal and I don't, you know, why did you close it? And like, okay, we'll reopen it.
Yeah. Before we get into the namespace, I have a specific thing to discuss. About Podping Live and the reason codes and everything. I guess that is kind of namespace, isn't it? Is the reason code is namespace, no?
It's Podping. Not namespace, but that's okay. We can bounce in and out.
Okay, yeah, right. No, I was confused. Anyway, here's what I was thinking. So I got this 100% retro station and they're up and streaming. And so now they, you know, they have they have special promos and they have things that they announce, but they have personalities and these personalities start at a certain time during the day. So let's say they have over a 24 hour period, there's probably four personalities that do a total of half of that. And what they're about to start streaming along with their stream is metadata. So I was thinking, is there a way to have a reason code for a live station in this case, where you can send out an alert when the host starts? You know, so you're already live. I mean, maybe it's just you just ping it live and say, you know, and you title the episode differently. You say, here's Kim Wilde or whatever. She happens to have a show on a station. Does that make any sense?
That's a really interesting idea. I like that a lot. So it's for long running live where want to be notified of things that happen inside the stream.
Yeah. And interestingly, the same time when, you know, so they have their version of a newsletter is a promo. And it'd be like this week, you know, it's what was it? Whose birthday was it? It was Darren. Darren even played a whole bunch. Now, anyway, so it's birthday week, and they're going to play different songs. They have a little promo, and so you want that promo. I mean that just goes in as an episode.
Okay.
And I mean, and so now the question is, do you notify people of the promo just in the regular way the podcast would, which I think is yes, or do you also hit the pod ping about that? I mean, I'm that may be too complicated, but for now, I'm looking to figure out how I can take metadata, because they have no technology. This is just me helping them out, just dreaming shit up because it's cool to do, right? I want to have extra stuff in 2.0. So I have to figure out a way to get this metadata, to filter it, and then have a list of names. So when it pops up, Ben Liebrandt's in the mix, you know, live now, boom, that's when you want to fire off a pod ping in, you know, new host or whatever the reason code is, something that, and maybe there's a, maybe it falls under the same stuff, or maybe there is a reason to give it a special reason.
So, okay. So here's how to approach this from a, from an idea or here's the mental framework to approach this from. Podping and the things that happen within Podping are meant to reflect things that happen in the feed. So the feed, if the feed doesn't change,
right,
then there shouldn't be a pod ping in any way. So right, the pod ping is supposed to be an alert system that says, hey, an event just happened in the feed. Go check the feed.
Right.
So if you, this is appropriate though. If the event that happened is that the person tag changed from host Kim Wilde to host that Dutch name you said that I can't pronounce, that is an event. And that could be a reason code. It could be something as vague as metadata change, or it could be really specific like host swap or host change or something. Like there could be, or just person or something. So as long as there, as long as the feed had a change to it, and I would think that in this regard, we would want that to happen. We would want there to be in the live item a person tag that has the current host in it. If that, as long as there's an event, as long as the feed changed in some way, yeah, for sure.
So my ultimate,
the pod ping makes sense.
So yeah, my ultimate goal with this, of course, is to get their on-air talent, and I think most of them actually do it live, to get them to interact in real time with Boostergrams.
I got you. Okay.
So anyway,
well, Steve, you know, like Steven used this example of No Agenda live stream, as long, you know, it's 24/7. And so there really could be, there could be a feed for the NA stream and it could do this exact same thing. That may be a way to sandbox this and play around with it.
Ooh, I like that idea. Now you're talking, huh?
And the, it could be value block updated. There could be a value block in the live stream that updates and their pod ping goes out for that along with the person change or something. You know, like the metadata change, it makes sense. I guess we would just have to come around. I don't know on the fly whether it makes sense to have just sort of something that's generic, like that falls under sort of a vague this type of thing updated, or to get real specific with it. And generally speaking, it's best to be as vague as possible with these things so that, you know, like you instead of going down four levels, you may, maybe you stop at two.
All right. Well, I just wanted to throw that out there, kind of get us started.
That's a great idea. I dig that a lot.
Cool.
Cause you can see the, usefulness of it. Because if you go out months or however long this thing takes, and you imagine that, you know, live streaming becomes more and more of a thing, well, then this, you're going to run into this issue, and there's going to be things like this where you're going to need to signal a change midstream. Yeah, I dig it. This is great. That's a great idea, Adam.
Okay. Also, I made their own chat room. So when you
What is it, IRC or?
Yeah, it's just another room on the voidzero.net server.
Are they interacting with it, or, like, live? Are they?
No, I don't think anyone. No,
talking about it, like,
not yet. Okay. No, like the owner, the guy who owns it, he's still, his head is still reeling because I set him up with a Get Albie, Now, I'm maintaining their feed just for now because they got nothing, you know. He was never expecting to go in this direction, have this as some additional thing. So he's out there making advertising deals. And I say, hold my beer. Hold on a second. Let me just put this in here. And I show him a boostergram. He says, what? So yeah, that's money coming. I said, look, I'm just listening. That's money coming in. He says, what? And so he's already like, he can't wait to show his investors. Like, yeah. we have revenue.
we have $3.
We have revenue.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like it.
Okay.
So yeah, that's really neat.
Okay. Namespace. More namespace, sir. Namespace.
Let's see.
Where do you want to go with your name? You're in charge of the name. I said you keep us on the namespace rails today.
So there's one thing is speeding up. Speeding up the TXT adoption. So I think that if nobody has anything else to add or any showstopper ideas or anything like that, I think we should go ahead and formalize finalize the podcast TXT tag. It's like soon, like maybe November the 1st.
Yeah, I'm good with that.
Because it's a simple tag. It's really not, it's really not much to it. I mean, it's just a text box, essentially. And then there's already prior art with DNS. So we kind of know how these sorts of things are supposed to work. And it's been like in the works for a long time. And we've been talking about it. Not necessarily on the GitHub, but way before it was posted as a proposal, we already sort of knew what we were after. And then the other thing is like early next year, Apple's going to start recommending officially that people take email addresses out of their feeds. Yeah. So we really have to have something there sort of in play kind of quickly. And we already know that some hosts are ready to go with this thing. It's like, yeah, I'm going to support this. Day one. So, I mean, as long as there's nothing, no big, showstoppers, I think we should go ahead and try now, to do this.
Do we early. Have enough, hosts who are going to make this switch? Cause you know, Apple be damned as far as I'm concerned. Is it the right time for us?
Yeah. I mean, like, Justin over at Transistor, he was like, yeah, we'll be there day one.
Okay.
You know?
All right.
So with that, anyway, so we have what's, you know, the criteria there. We've got a host that says they're going to implement. We have at least one of those, and we have at least one app that's going to implement it, which is Stephen B, because he implements everything. He's Mikey.
yes, he is.
And so he's the guy in my back pocket where I can always say, oh yeah, we got one app. Because it's always going to be Stephen B.
Right. That's true.
And then we will do it as well on Podcaster Wallet. So, like, I feel like we've got broad promise of adoption already.
And just like you can say, yeah, Stephen B will do it, you always know that Castapod it will always be there. New feature, Castapod has it. Castapod mm-hmm. is like that car with a million clowns come out of it. You open the door. Boom, 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 boom. What is all these? This is features, man. Boom, 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 boom,
and then rise your best, shut the door like 3 seconds later. Another one pops out. One final one. Yeah. Oh. Yeah. I like it.
Yeah.
I think I'm comfortable. I don't like speeding things and rushing things. I like to give things time to bake, but I think this one's ready.
Yeah, that's what I've always liked about you, Dave. Nice and slow.
Let's not rush this.
Okay, let's not rush this. We have our whole lives ahead of us.
I can stick a toothpick in this one, and there's nothing sticking to it. We're good.
Sounds good it's to done. Me. All right.
The other one. I think we just need to get John Spurlock on to talk about the events tag. I don't want to do this really without him because I think.
No, I think you're right. And we need to schedule him for that.
Yeah.
Which is my way of saying, you're going to schedule him?
It's like, yeah, this, I picked it up. I picked up your signal.
Well, yes. You know, we each have our own natural responsibilities for the production of the show. It works out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you deal with meat people. Yeah. With beef.
Let me tell you, the meat mafia guys, these like 28-year-old, oh man, I love these guys.
Who is the meat mafia exactly? Who are these people?
It's these two guys, and they were both college athletes, and after college, their bodies started to give up on them, a whole bunch of weird shit, and literally, like, massively weird shit, like stomach issues and, 10 years of problems. And, the commercial on TV, we always see the lady, like, she's about to go into the lawyer's office meeting and, like, oops, sorry, I got to go take a shit. Or like, yeah, like the lead singer isn't there to sing. It's like, where is she? And then the bass player's like, oh, man, she's taking a shit. So, and actually they presented in Bluffton, Georgia at the Beef Initiative Summit. And their story is, like they just were kind of out of ideas. Like, oh, I'm just going to go try this beef, pure, grass fed, in their case, grass finished. And within 2 weeks, they started to heal. And so now, they're on their own kind of mission. They're also, they're not just about beef, but they're about healthy living, et cetera. But it's these two millennial guys and they're figuring it out. They're doing value for value. They're making a living.
Talking about whole food and natural healing sounds like misinformation. Misinformation mafia.
Yeah, for sure.
The M3, the meat Man, misinformation mafia.
Did we start this thing on time or what, brother? Was our timing impeccable for once? Mine for once.
What of a dozen possible things are you referring to?
The index.
Yeah,
And the streaming sats, the value for value. It's like every single day, more and more people are starting to see this as an option.
Mm-hmm.
And certainly, yeah. The index itself. What a valuable piece of work that you've put together here. Well, everyone has put together, of course.
Well, as long as I don't break it with live updating, we're good.
Ah, that's
we're
part of good. The charm, man. That's part of why we're here.
Riding the rocket. Do you know the end of Doctor Strangelove? That's us. Yes. riding the nuke.
Yeah, exactly.
I think we just need to have John on and talk about events, because I already had some conversations offline about it. People have some ideas, people have some concerns. And so, like, rather than try to like rehash everything here in this slow motion thing, I'll schedule him and we'll have a whole episode dedicated to just like hashing out what that would mean and
how it could look like. 15 minutes. Come on, we're running a show here.
Okay. We will have, you can pencil it in, and then we'll send out a pod ping when we switch topics mid-show.
I'm very, very curious about the events thing. That'll be good to dig into. I think we'll come up with great ideas.
What if live streams, okay, you were talking about switching hosts and everything. Could a live stream have chapters? Cloud chapters?
You can send metadata and you can change the metadata. Like if there's a new song, yeah, technically, yeah, that's exactly what it is. You're sending track data, I think is what it will be called in this case.
You're talking about in the MP3 header.
In the live stream. Frame. In a live stream.
Right. Yeah, it's streaming MP3 chunks is what it is. But what I'm talking about is in the chapters cloud. Could it have a cloud chapters file attached to the live stream, and you're updating the cloud the chapters JSON file?
And the point would be to have. I mean, it's already happening when you're listening to a stream, the album art will change and everything changes. So there's your mechanism. Just how do we tie into it? Mm-hmm.
The problem could be here that, and I'd have to look at the spec, but the problem here could be that the chapters specify an offset.
Yeah, but what is the point of the chapter? Because it won't be for lookup. It'll just be to switch something. I understand I'm not sure if chapters is the right way to go.
Well, I'm talking about like for all the things chapters do, like image, showing an image at a certain moment, showing a link, just all the power of chapters, but within a live stream.
Yeah, no, I understand.
Mm-hmm. The issue here is that it's specified as offsets, though, because like the chapters are like start time, and it's a number of seconds after zero.
But what I'm saying is, there's a perfectly functioning system in place. It works really, really well with live streams. So I don't see why putting that into a separate chapter file is going to make it any better. It would still be the same thing.
But I don't know what you're saying. So like if I want to send some, all right. So let's say that I'm on Podverse and I'm listening to this live stream right now. How is Podverse going to get a chapter image?
By changing the image from a podcast in a live stream scenario to get the streamed data that is being sent by the stream already.
So the stream, you're saying that the Icecast server in this scenario can also send chapter art?
Yes. A URL, I believe. I can only take a look because here I have, I can even do it. I think I can even do it here on metadata. Okay. You can do ANSI UTF-8, send it automatically. So you can send it, you send the information to your encoder, which you are streaming from. And then that gets rebroadcast by your server.
How does it broadcast it? What's the
it encodes it in the stream. So the audio is going and a metadata stream, and it'll have a URL for an image art.
Okay, so this is Icecast metadata.
I think so.
That's for now playing information.
I think so. Yeah.
Okay. All right. I need to look at that because I think.
You can do station info, which also shows up in certain places, including an IRC channel, by the way, and the metadata. Let me see.
Because I'm wondering if you can. Okay, this may be the answer. So Ice Cube Soup says it can send arbitrary text. So if that arbitrary text can be like a JSON blob or some sort of schemed metadata structure, then you could just send the chapter data in its standard format.
Yeah, you could do that
along the stream and not. Yeah, okay. So you could just have a rolling chapters file rather than have to specify a static file that lives somewhere else.
I mean, typically the way it works, the way the most encoders work is, and none of it's applicable for what we're really doing, but you fire up, you have a playlist of songs. That's what they think radio is. And and it plays the song and it takes the MP3, the ID3 information from the MP3, shoots that through the encoded stream, and then it pops up with the image with text, album, artist, track.
All right, so that's a point of research for me then, because I mean, if you can do that, then you can also send lots of things through that. You can send lots of metadata. Structured metadata for things like chapters or value blocks or whatever.
I would not want to get too deep into that at this point, seeing as there's really only 10 people doing this. And we have a lot of other namespace stuff that may take precedence. I'm trying to say, I don't know if that's super important at this juncture. It's good. It's fun to look at for sure. It's just like
I'm not sure. Well, I don't know.
I guess if I were to prioritize things, I would much rather put effort into seeing how we can get PeerTube to work in apps, and so we can actually get some video going for the live stuff, because that's the audience that's waiting to leave.
The video streamers.
Oh, yeah. That's, I mean, the YouTube super chat, we have it all, but we don't.
Mm-hmm. Well, I need to, so Alex gave me an image of the Hive Rider, a Docker image of the Hive Rider that's got the Cap'n Proto socket stuff in it. So as soon as I get a chance, I tried to work on it yesterday, but then just got caught up. But as soon as I get a chance, I'm going to get that working. We got to get that one out the door first, because that one's important. Mm. And then once, because that gives us live reason codes, then we can move on to something else. But on the pod ping live front, I got that one really has to happen pretty quickly.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm just trying to back you away from too much work, brother.
Gotcha, man. Yeah. No. Yeah.
I mean, I'm already afraid of the events tag.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a scary one. Do we want to thank people?
Let's do that. That's a good idea. A value for value proposition this podcast is, and the entire project. And that means that we ask a simple question. Did you get any value from this show, from what we're talking about, from any of the guests, from any of the information, from the entire project? Because, of course, we have servers and stuff that needs to run and needs to upgrade and needs to grow. Just put that into a number. Send it to us. Let us know exactly how valuable you think it is. You can do that at podcastindex.org. We still do accept the PayPal Fiat Fun coupons. Is our QR code showing up again? That thing is elusive. Let me go see.
On the website?
Second. Yeah, yeah, because it was not... No, Tallycoin is like... I think Tallycoin might have done something different. I got to check around, see if that's us or them. Anyway, the way you really want to do it is you want to get an app with a boost button. That I like the way James positions that. I think it's funny. Look at your app. Does it have a boost button? Oh, no. You need one. Newpodcastapps.com. Here's a couple of the boosts that we've been receiving during the show and just prior, some pre-boosts. There was a competition. I'll read them in reverse order. 17,776 from Booberry, who says, "It's okay. I'll look like an ass. The apps I do my serious listening on have got to have lit. No question about it in my mind. Live shows make up the vast majority of my listening catalog. I wish more apps would take lit seriously." Okay. Then Midas comes in with 17,777. Had to one up Booberry. We encourage this, by the way. And there he is, Dreb Scott, the Bruce Wayne of Podcasting 2.0, with 17,778 sats joining the One Up Club. And Boo Furry,
that's his brother,
came in at 17,778 sats as well. And there is a brand new one from Chimp, 13,579, eating sushi and boosting live. Boost, boost, boost. I love when it's a game,
boost,
man.
Boost, boost, boost.
$99.99 from Booberry as well. Let's see. We got, let me go down the list here. Dreb Scott got us going one time for the one time, he says, 33,333. Boost.
Boost.
Exactly. Let's see. Servo 3333 boosting from the cron tab. Nice.
Oh, we slid up into somebody's cron.
We did. It's from the Boost CLI. I have the little logo here, and it says boosting from the cron tab in paren sent Friday, October 21st, 10:33.01 PDT 2022. Cool.
I like
that's a
like
subscription. That's a subscription.
That's a subscription. Yeah, we have one subscriber. I like sliding up into somebody's cron tab. That's nice.
It sounds dirty.
Yep.
Then we have Lyceum with 2222 and a Rush 2112. Let me see. This is, of course, Martin. Martin Lindeskog. Do you think that the open source version of Pocket Casts will add Podcasting 2.0 and value for value features? How do you think automatic that is linked to WordPress could support a diverse ecosystem of third-party clients? Oh, this is a quote. Oh, that's interesting. You know, I think I heard this. So apparently they say they had a quote.
This is they, meaning podcast?
I think automatic.
Okay.
They like to support a diverse ecosystem of third-party clients. I'd have to read the whole quote, kind of. Maybe they just want people to tie into their back end, a la Podcast Index. Possible. Possible.
Open source clients.
Could be. Anyway.
Okay.
That would be interesting to see if that happens. Maybe.
Maybe. I know they have their own. They have their own directory. And the day they, was it? Is the guy's name Philip?
I can't remember.
Isn't that who we're talking to? What is, I think his name was Philip. We had a call with that day from Pocket Casts.
He was the Australian guy, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that was the original owner, I guess. Maybe not.
I think so. I think he was co-founder, yeah.
Yeah.
Let's see. Yeah, okay, well, here's the quote from what Martin's talking about. We believe that podcasting cannot and should not be controlled by Apple and Spotify and instead support a diverse ecosystem of third-party clients.
Okay. All right, stop stoking up trouble, Martin.
Yeah,
you're troublemaker. You're troll, man. Troublemaking troll.
But when we were talking to him that day, he was like, yeah, we run. He was asking me a lot of stuff about the index and how we do our directory and that kind of thing, because they also run a directory.
Yeah.
And one of the things we briefly chatted about, and he was interested in working on in the future, is a way to share. On the back end, share
right
data.
Like we do with Marco.
Yeah, exactly. So that we're not all recreating the wheel independently in five different silos.
Yeah, we got to get back. We got to circle back to that.
Yeah. Let's do circle back.
Circle back. All right. Who else can we thank, Dave?
We can thank Marco Arment for a $500 donation that he does every month without fail.
Yeah.
Baller, shot caller, 20-inch blades on the Impala.
Thank you, Marco. Thank you.
Yes. Thank you very much. The search endpoint for the Apple Mimic API is finished. And I shot him an email about it the other day because that's part of that fallback mechanism we had in place. Now we've got lookup. We've got the iTunes ID lookup, and we also have the search endpoint. So those things are for people like Marco who rely exclusively on the Apple API, the iTunes lookup API. Mm. If you want to, what you can do without having to change any of your code, you don't have to switch over to use the Podcast Index. As your API backend, what you can do is if you can remain using Apple, and then you can put us as a fallback, and you can just basically, if Apple's API goes down, all you do is change the host name of the URL that
right.
you query.
Yeah.
Everything else stays the same, and you start getting traffic again. And then as soon as Apple comes back online, flip the switch, you're back on Apple. So that's what that's intended for. And so now I think we have most of the coverage that everybody would need.
And how much is Apple going to donate for us having their back here?
Let's see. Oh, I added it up this morning. It's zero.
Of all the things they could support.
Mm-hmm. We've got Jennifer Navarette. I'm going to say Navarette instead of Navaretti. Jennifer, if that's wrong, please let me know. Jennifer Navarette, she sent us $17. Again, she sent us money last week as well.
Thank you, Jennifer. Appreciate that.
And she says, sending value to y'all to show my appreciation is oddly satisfying. Why $17? For the 17 years of joy being a podcaster has brought me.
Wow.
Thanks again for the breathing new life into podcasting. I'm as excited today as I was back in 2005 when I heard my very first episode of the Daily Source Code. Keep on keeping on. Cheers.
OG, Jennifer. Nice. Wow. And thank you. That's really appreciated. That's very nice.
That's our PayPals for the week.
She's been with us a long time, Dave.
She has, Jennifer.
Good old Jennifer.
I just remember it just like it was yesterday.
Just like yesterday.
The very first podcast.
Ah, yes.
Okay, Auburn Citadel on the boost front. I don't know what's going on, but Auburn Citadel sent us seriously like 1,008,333 sat boosts.
Uh-oh, did he have a stuck boost button?
I don't know. But like, okay.
But surely not 1,000,000. How many if you counted them?
All right. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27, 28, 29, 30, 31, 32, 33, 34, 35, 36, 37, 38, 39, 40. Okay, that's 40. 41, 42, 43, 44, 45, 46, 47, 48, 49, 50. So these are all 8,333 sats.
50, you said?
50.
50?
That's 50 so far. Uh-huh. And then, so there's another 1, 2, 3, 4,
wow.
5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13.
Let me guess. Okay, so another 13. 50. Yeah, so 63.
14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23. So 63. No, 73. He sent us 73 boosts of 8,333.
That's 584,000 satoshis.
Baller, shot caller, 20 inch blaze on the Impala.
I'd say it looks suspiciously like a $100 donation is what I'd say that is. Perhaps even t-shirt worthy.
I think that he may have been trying to sneak this past. This may be Satoshi laundering. He may be sneaking this past his wife.
We got to KYC him. Yeah, sneaking it past his wife. Yeah, we got KYC him. Sneaking it past. Oh, honey, I just tripped on the boost button. Don't worry, it's only 8,000 sats. Oh, my fat finger. I did it again.
Mm-hmm. it's fine.
Which app was it?
Oh, man. Let me go back and look. It was Fountain.
Okay. All right.
Well, I think, you know, because Fountain doesn't do like hold down and it does mega boosts. So I'm thinking, oh, I know what this is. He set his per minute.
Oh, goodness.
To 8333. Because I'm looking at the timestamp. Minute 13, I mean, hour 13 oh, minutes, hour oh, 12, so hour 11.
We basically drained his wallet after 63 minutes.
I hope he didn't know that on accident.
No, we'll be happy to send it back if that was an unfortunate user error. But if not, thank you very much. We appreciate it. But we're happy to send it back.
C-Dub said the cat fell asleep on the keyboard.
Anything's possible. Yeah, now you need a trigger guard on these things.
Yeah. Gene Everett, Gene, also known as Gene from Armonk, sent us 33,333, and he says, boost!
Yo, thank you very much, Gene, appreciate
boost!
It.
Boost! Mike Newman, hey Mike, long time no see. Sats 5,047 through CurioCaster, thank you Mike. Mike again, 1,658, thank you, okay. Two-time Mike.
Nice.
No note on either one of those, though. Oh. The Tone Wrecker sent us 2052 with no note. Thank you, Tone Wrecker. 1,000 sats from BTC June. And the message is, that's love, bros. Let's go.
He's the OG. Boost. He's a leader in the space. He's a leader.
Leader in the space. He's in the magic quadrant.
He is.
Merlin. Merlin sent us 3540 sats, no note. 80,000 sats from Gene Bean through Castomatic. And he says, here's a little something to help offset the PayPal debacle. Thanks for what y'all do.
Wow, well, thank you, Gene Bean. Thank you. That's really nice. Appreciate that.
Boost. Oh, Roy Scheinfeld. Look who showed up.
Oh.
54,321.
There you go.
And he says, I need to share with y'all the story behind the boost confetti.
Oh, okay.
I would love to hear the story.
He didn't write it? He just said, I need to share the story?
He said, "I need to share there's no That's story. It? He just says, I need to share it." Yeah.
Oh well, we need to have Roy on again soon because he's been updating their podcasting app in Breeze as well. Thanks, Roy.
Yeah, it would also be good to have him on to catch up with some of the stuff that's been going on in Lightning
Network stuff in general. Yeah,
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Taro and all that stuff. And the green light. Okay. Yeah, I'll holler at him. D's Laughs, 333, says boost equals love.
Oh, it certainly does. Hold, don't I have a boosting loving? I should have one.
Boost.
Well, that's kind of the same. Boost.
It's very sappy. Sappy. DeBozak sent us 3333. No note. Thank you, DeBozak. 8334 from the Mere Mortals podcast. That's our buddy Kyron through the Fountain app. And he says, 1300 or 1400 calories a day. Somebody get this man some beef. Stat.
Yes, indeed. How's the beef doing? Are you feeling good?
Oh, yeah. I'm doing a lot better. I've been working out. I'm feeling... I can really feel the benefit of having high quality protein,
mm-hmm.
like in a way that it's, I can't really describe it. It's just like, I can feel that my muscles are getting the things that they need. It's not, I don't have the fatigue is
exactly.
a lot better.
Exactly. And, you feel more cavemanish.
Yes.
Right. Yes, am I right? Do. And, uh-huh. you know, and just keep eating that, man. And, we just got some raw milk. Actually, the Meat Mafia guys brought a 3 gallon jug of raw milk.
Goat milk or cow milk?
Cow milk. Oh man.
That's grass fed.
Oh yeah. Milk. Oh yeah. And it's from LaGrange, Texas. It was almost like a milkshake.
Oh wow, that's
so good.
Is it the kind where is it the non homogenized where the cream floats to the top and you got to shake it?
It's straight from the cow.
Oh, love it.
Straight from the cow. Awesome. Man. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. We used to buy raw milk up in Odenville, which is about 45 minutes north of here. We used to live up there, and we would buy raw goat's milk and on these pastured goats. It was delicious, but they, like. To get around the raw milk rules, it's very
difficult. Yeah. Secret handshake. And
everything. No, they had it labeled. They had a sticker on everyone that said, not for human consumption.
Oh, of course. Yes, exactly.
Like, God no, forbid. No. I'm buying this for my dog.
For the dog. Yeah, yeah. Exactly. For the chickens.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, for the chickens. Yes. Cass Peelin, 3690.
Hey, Cass.
Says, thanks. Just a boost. Thanks for fixing the world.
We love Just a Boost anytime, buddy.
Yeah. Mere Mortals Podcast, 12345 through Ooh. From Kyron. He says, as much as I love Bitcoin and all the amazing work on the tags, the idea that stuck in my head and made me have some sleepless nights was V for V. The exact reason I decided to create a whole show around it.
That's right.
That's right. We Go love listen that to show. The Value for Value podcast.
We love that show.
Gene Bean with some leet. 1337 sats through Castomatic, and he says, buy me a coffee.
Sorry.
BuyMeACoffee.com does subscriptions and is backed by Stripe, assuming I understand things correctly.
Now, yes. So I had my meeting with the IBEX team.
Yeah.
Love these guys. So right away, they set me up. You know, so now I have a, right now, I just have their basic system so I can generate a QR code on chain or Lightning. When it's paid, it goes straight through and goes into the bank account. So that part works beautifully. Now they are adding the, I guess there's a whole nother piece to it that they have that they now connect to it, where you get to just encode just write the URL like you would a PayPal link. So that's going to work. And Lightning address. So, you know,
Okay.
And
with the dot well known thing,
and they totally like Keysend, totally they're gonna do it all. They're now, of course, all jacked up. Like, well, should we be providing stats? I said, I don't know, man. This is what Albie's doing. You know, here's what Helipad does. Maybe you'll come up with some great idea. I don't know. But it's pretty decent. It really is. But the team is great. They're just enthusiastic to build this.
Here's what they should do. I don't like that word. I should take that word away.
Yes.
Okay. Here's what they could do. They could make a general purpose API where you, as the podcaster, can authorize other third parties to give you stats. So that you can get your stats through Fountain or Albie.
Great idea.
Yeah.
Great idea. Well, I'll recommend that to them. I mean, for me, I'm sorry, the reason why we're discussing it was the subscription part. So they already have a product in the works, and they will present to me when they're ready. But I think No Agenda may be able to receive on-chain and Lightning in the next week or two.
That fast? Wow. Wow, they're all.
I mean, it's technically working. It's, you know, just need the URLs to encode, and you know, for No Agenda's purposes, getting the key send working, which I mean, they pretty much have all the pieces.
So they're gonna. So let me make sure I understand. So they are going to have a key send enabled wallet there. And they're on their platform, and they are going to settle it into US dollars immediately.
So you can set a slider. You can say, mm-hmm. I want, you know, like 10% fiat fund coupons and 90% keep it in Bitcoin, or you can slide it any way you want. And gotcha. So that, of course, it's very inefficient to do direct for small deposits through, ACH, the clearinghouse.
Yes,
so they'll do that once every night. They aggregate all the payments of the day and then send them over.
And they're going to give you a separate metadata file that has all of like a Boostagram donations and stuff.
Well, again, it's not going to work with key send off the bat.
But when they get that part, when they get to that,
yes, I believe so. And if I look at the. If I look at their interface now, give me a second, I can tell you. Here's what I get from them now. Because I did get the Excel sheet. Because I'm like, you got to have an Excel export or I can't live. Mm-hmm. hold on a second. Managers, accounts. Right. Now I just need to do this 2 days earlier. Okay, let me see. CSV. Let me just see transactions. Let's see. Let me tell you the fields that it has now, which was very encouraging. I recall. Here we go. Disbursed date, date created, date settled, account, information, account name, total millisats, total amount, currency conversion. They even put the fees in there. And then they have invoice fields, memo field, name field, all the stuff you want for, you know, to be filled up with either a donation note or a Boostagram. So, yeah, that part, cool. That'll take a little bit. But once we get this part going, then at least we can have it, you know?
Yeah. So the idea is if somebody wants to donate, I think it was like 250 or above US dollars for executive producer.
Yeah, 200.
On the Node, then you would have like they could key send you through a podcast app one and a half, you know.
Or they can just
1.5 million sats.
And they can just go to the donation page and just scan the QR code.
Right, but either one work. The goal would be that either one would work.
Yeah,
right?
correct.
Sweet. Okay.
Man, right.
This
right.
is really fun. This is really neat.
I'm super excited because it'll open up a lot of opportunities for people who really just don't want to deal with it. Maybe
mm-hmm.
at least not yeah, right off sure. the bat. I mean, and that's what I like about the slider. You know, let's keep 20% in Bitcoin.
33 sats from Mix through Fountain. No note. Well, thank you, Mix. 1,000 sats from Mitch, and he said Podverse, and he says go podcasting.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Go podcasting.
Make that 2,000, not 1,000. To Mitch, he sent us a double. Slude sent us 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and through Fountain, he says, "Can I get a recording of Dave saying what is this?" Adam saying, "Hey baby, it gets better. Love you, mean it." What?
So go ahead, do your, give me your
do
line.
You know what you're supposed to say?
Yeah.
Okay. What is this?
Hey, baby, don't worry, it gets better.
All right.
It's pretty sick, dude. How many sats was that?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Well, this is kind of underpaid.
Underpaid. Yes, that was high quality content. Scott Sikora sent us 25,000 sats through Fountain, and he says. Nice. This boost is to help Dave get to Pittsburgh to get to Libsyn to enable podcast 2.0 features. If I'm not, I'm going to be moving over to hang out with Todd. Pew, pew, go beef casting.
Pew. Ooh.
Go boost.
That happened all at once.
Let's see. 1,010 sats from Tester. And he says, test testicles. Okay.
Okay, thanks.
How you doing, Booster?
Got some anonymous boosts, lots of those. Thank you, Anonymous. 500 sats. Appreciate it. Tone Wrecker back with 2052. Thank you, Tone Wrecker. We've got Brian of London in the Hive DAO, 52,842 sats.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Brian.
And Brian says, hi ho, hi ho. It's off to court I go. One day I'll be able to give a proper update on our Australian legal adventures.
He's like a never-ending non-disclosure agreement, this guy.
He is.
That's how he met. He laid out this whole story. He's going to win $10 billion, and he's all going to make us a millionaire.
All we need is a $5 million donation, Brian. I mean, if you got $10 billion, we just need a $5 million donation to the podcast index. All good.
And a yacht.
Okay, I don't want to get too greedy. $4 million in a yacht. $4 million in a yacht. Lyceum, also known as Martin Lindskog, sent us a Liberty Boost, 1776. And he says, it is interesting to see how players like Strike and Cash App are making it easier for regular users to buy, add to e-wallets, and send Satoshis to content creators.
Oh, yeah.
As an American in spirit, I'm rooting for European developers, e.g. Albion Fountain, so they could find ways for users outside the North American market. Do you think Stripe will get into new markets, come up with new features after the PayPal story? Maybe he means Strike.
I think he means Strike too. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe.
Yeah, who knows?
I mean,
I don't know what they're doing. I don't know.
Nobody knows anything, really. No one really knows anything other than that there's some gambling going on somewhere.
The Tone Wrecker sent us 3333 through Fountain, and he says, now testing previous record archive uploads from Bandcamp under Tone Record tracks in 2.0 RSS realm. Chapters for each track with B-side record artwork is great so far. Did I see a brief CurioCast music entry by Dave noting SoundCloud hook as a test last week?
Did you?
You think you? I didn't. I do have a SoundCloud test feed, yes. You did see that.
That's interesting because someone else was asking, let me see, what do we have in the music tab? What's new?
I don't know what you mean, Tone Wrecker. If you're on the Mastodon, tell me what you mean.
Yeah, let's find out what's going on.
Yeah, what are you doing? I want to know what you're doing. Lyceum sent us a 2112 Rush Boost, and he says, it's great to read an article on Podcasting 2.0 in the biggest tabloid in Sweden. It's the Aftonbladet.
I saw that. We got a man. There's a lot of music starting to pop up here. Sorry to interrupt. I'm just looking at the CurioCaster music tab, and it's October 17th, 18th. There's new stuff coming up. Anyway,
let me see what that is.
Stereon music.
Stereo.
Drop it. The music Stereon. Is in the music. Music.
Piece.
Music.
Pieces.
Music. Music.
Music. Music. Music. Music.
Music.
Music.
Music.
Music. Music. Music.
All right. Well, that's
Stereon.
Great.
Stereon. What is Stereon? Where does that host it? Let me see. That's on SoundCloud. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. So that's coming.
Well,
off
how did that get? How did that get in there, though? Let me look at SoundCloud's RSS feed.
So, yeah, I'm telling you, the people are starting to figure out they can use their RSS feed and run it through Podcaster Wallet or Fountain.
I wonder if I did that.
Okay. I'm getting all excited. It's an inside job, man. Fake news.
There's two in here. Wait. Okay, wait. That's RSS Blue. Okay, that's coming from RSS Blue. I got you. Okay. That's Dobby Doss.
Oh, okay. All right.
Mystery solved. Where was I? Oh, yes. Agree. Yeah, get on there and tell us what you're doing. I want to know. 2222 from Lyceum again. He says, we already read that one. That means that we're left with
the delimiter.
Comic strip blogger 15033 sats through Fountain. And he says, howdy, Adam and Dave. Your audience is invited to listen to AI.cooking, podcast about artificial intelligence narrated by silky voice of Gregory William Forsyth Foreman from Kent, UK. Just enter AI.cooking in your web browser or in your podcast player app. Yo.
Go podcasting!
Just one quickie, since he's listening live, our ginger fair-haired Brit, Sam Sethi, is...
he's listening live. Is he in the chat room?
I don't know if he's in the chat room. We sent a 1947 boost. Now, we know the 1948 is Sir Brian of London with his Israeli independence. Do you know what 1947 represents?
I'm going to guess that that is the year of independence of the of India from the British Empire.
Correct you are, sir.
No.
India independence boost. Love the idea of Podping to update any change in RSS and can't wait for Spurlock show as podcast events is super exciting. Ready to implement.
Nice. Well, there you go.
Ready to implement. What?
I'll say, well, there you go. We got another one in the box there, ready to go. Monthlies.
Okay.
Tim Hudgens, my buddy, $25. David Woodfine, $3. Paul Erskine, $11.14. Michael Goggin, $5. And Charles Current,
$5. Nice. Thank you all so much. That will keep us going for another week. please consider us when you're thinking about the value you'd like to return to the project. It's the only way it'll keep working. And so far, 2 years, we're still there, still doing it.
We're not dead. We're not dead yet.
Podcastindex.org for your PayPal, Fiat Fun coupons, and any podcast app that does value for value at newpodcastapps.com.
We may be old and creaky, but we're not dead.
Let's see. What else? Do you have anything on your list? I'm just trying to look at the time. Do you have to go back to the office today?
Mm-hmm, I do, but I've got a little bit of time. I don't know if you got anything, but
Let me see. I thought it was kind of the oral history of Gimlet's slow demise. I don't know if you saw that.
Oh, yes.
It was a Substack. Oh, my goodness.
I didn't read the whole thing. I can just imagine what it says, though.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting. I mean, it was weird because there's these two threads that kind of intersected, and I wasn't quite sure what to do with it because one is, you know, obviously we're laughing at this $244,000 to create a podcast, and that was like this big conversation. And somehow, because of our comments about an interview was edited on Podland, that kind of got conflated somehow. It was really odd. And then on Podland, they did an interview with what's the guy's name? Neil. He's apparently the best editor, best audio editor in the world.
Oh, I haven't listened to yesterday's yet. I haven't made it that far.
Okay. So then James did an edit of the interview, which Sam conducted. What's that tool called? What they all use?
Descript,
yeah. And then after that, the same interview edited by Neil himself. And I mean, it was that's really hard to do. And I don't think you could, that made no sense to me because I just heard the interview and it was nice. It was good to listen to. I went through all the, you know, got off track, it's back on track. And then Neil did it the way he felt it should be done. And I felt like I was running behind the story. I couldn't quite catch up. It's like, hold on, I'm moving too fast for me. But anyway, the whole thing was kind of odd about, I mean, I just put it this way. If you find yourself editing out your ums and your ahs, you need to find a different hobby. The whole point is when you do this, and I have all kinds of ums and ahs and stop words and think phrases and you gotta catch yourself. You need to learn to be better because in all these conversations about production and executive producers and editors and mixers and recorders, I didn't hear many people talking about the talent on the show. Or even was it even discussed as a number that you had to hire the talent? Whereas I think the whole point is podcasting gives people with different talents an opportunity to communicate. And I don't know if you need to cut them all up and make it. I mean, in fact, Neil said, the way you edit should be about what you, the podcaster, want to portray. And that's my point exactly. That's what you want. So I don't want to do an interview where it's going to be cut up to portray what you want to portray. I want people to hear what I have to say. And, you know, Joe Rogan, I know no one over there listens because, you know, he's evil. But you should listen to Joe Rogan because he is a very skilled conversationalist. And it's I think everyone should be able to learn how to speak better. Dvorak and I, it's one of the main features of the show. He'll say, you're smacking your lips. Or I'll say, you're saying the fact of the matter too much. And we catch each other and we stop that stuff and we make ourselves better in the process. It's one thing, you don't necessarily need to shorten time on a podcast, but okay, you have a budget of time that you want to allot. I personally feel that you should have done a shorter interview. That's me personally. And so I find editing a conversation, and it's not about context, it's about rhythm and breath. And I hear it all the time, like, no, the person didn't breathe in between those two sentences. And it's not comfortable to listen to. So I don't want to dwell on it too much, but I was surprised what a big deal they made out of it. I said, it's inherently, I mean, we don't edit this show. And I'll make a little snip there to tighten up the spot when you went to let the dog out. And that's it. And everything else, isn't that kind of the beauty of it? Don't we already have the perfect NPR, the perfect mainstream media that doesn't fuck up and doesn't say the wrong things? Don't we already have that? Is it more fun to listen to authenticity?
I have found myself speaking more slowly lately, and it's directly in response to going back and listening to our episodes.
Sure.
And hearing how when my mind goes really fast and I try, when my mouth tries to match the speed of thought that my head is going at, my words get all fumbled up and I end up doing the ums and ahs, and I restart my sentences multiple times and these kinds of things. So I've been hearing myself do this, and I've been trying to consciously like slow down the rhythm of my talk so that my mouth doesn't outpace my mind.
And you get that from listening to yourself and improving.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and it's really helpful because I've got these ideas and I want to say them, but I also want to say them in a specific way, because you've got the idea and then you've got the way that it comes out and gets presented.
Yes.
And they're both important. Like really almost the presentation is almost more important than the idea itself, because that's really where it becomes a reality. And
this is what the podcast industrial complex has become: a bunch of creatives, executive producers who come up with a show idea. They pitch it to the person with the money. Then they go assemble the team and get a host. Yeah, that's Hollywood. And by the way, Gimlet and all these people, you play Hollywood, you get treated like Hollywood. I've been fired overnight. Clear out your desk. No, you can't take your edit with you. Goodbye.
Ladies, yeah, that's Hollywood. Hollywood right there.
Ladies, we bought your show. We don't like you. You're too expensive. You're a pain in the ass. You have too many demands. We got new people for the show. You got no rights. We bought that from you. That's Hollywood. It's a trap. So many people fell into
it. It's not even just Hollywood. It's the broader media. Like it's New York. Look how many people bounce from like news station to news station. Got people going from one, you know, Fox to CNN and back and forth and all these kinds of places like that. You just get bought and sold all the time. I mean, some of those guys make lots of money, but I mean, you're not above being fired at all.
No, absolutely. It's misguided. That's all. It's just, there was a lot of money floating around and now it's tightening up as I predicted. And it's only going to get worse. And the people who have figured out how to put a podcast together themselves, maybe with one other person like you and I are doing, you're going to make it. because you have to keep those costs low. You have to, and I'm broken record. One of the last times I'll do this. Because we never had the gear for podcasters, and we're just now finally getting the gear that you can record something with your sound straight in, you know, like talented people, you know, who have a conversation, it's funny, and you don't have to edit the fun into it. That's the problem, is we created this generation of Phil Spector wall of sound podcast editors, which is, well, just give me anything. Give me some stock music. Give me some person reading a script. I'll make a great podcast. But it's kind of manufactured, a lot of it.
Oh, straight up. I mean, like, so I could think of, if you want to do like a, I mean, some people really like a true crime type investigative, you know, journalist, one that's, guy with a mic.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And that's fine. And that's fine. But, you know, the thing about that, though, is I really think that there is something special about a couple of people talking about a topic and hashing it out. Even so, even those shows, even things like a true crime or an investigative thing, you can have one person leading the charge and saying, okay, here's what I'm trying to say. I can imagine sitting down to do a podcast. You have the script there, and you have the thing that you want to say, but then it's also collaborative. And so you're going through it. You could do that in one take. You don't have to edit the bejesus out of that, right?
No, this is the travesty, is people are so used to having the processing. Wouldn't you just want to hear while you're speaking what it's going to sound like on the other end right away? I do. Yeah. I do. Yeah. I love that. Anyway.
Yeah.
So I have backslash. I have no idea why I got on that rant other than, I truly, honestly prefer not hearing edited pieces. You know, and it's not so much like, okay, went off on a tangent and he talked about ice bears for 10 minutes. Yeah, of course you can make an edit there. But editing out ums and ahs and saying, well, you know, I mean, I heard entire pieces were not edited linearly the way Neil did it. He brought stuff forward and backward, like, okay, you're doing a puzzle like this. Yeah, you built a story, but it wasn't the story as it was told.
Yeah, that comes out. Well, we see that in like news media all the time. You're chopping this and moving it around over here and chopping. It's like, well, I'm not seeing. That's almost like a deep fake. When you rearrange the pieces like that, it's still it's the person, but it's not actually what they said. Because sometimes, like if you have an interview and you go through, let's just say you go through seven topics in 30 minutes. Well, if you take a response from topic six and move it in front of topic two, well, topic two and the thing that I discussed there may have influenced what I thought about topic six. So now you've got it out of order and it doesn't make any sense. And if we had done it out of order, I may have responded a different way.
Mm-hmm.
Like, nah,
yes,
yeah.
Yes. And then just as the final point on this, so we have podcast creators chopping up people and removing ums and ahs so that podcast listeners can then subsequently play it at 5x speed with volume boost and everything. We're going to run into problems one day. It's going to be too much crap on both sides of the equation.
The gap zapper.
I'm telling you, the gap zapper. I don't understand.
Dirty.
To me, it's a radio hangover. It's like, yeah, keep it tight. Yeah, yeah, yeah. What do you got to do? You got to hit the top of the hour? You got to hit the news? No. No. Try this. If your guest is getting boring, instead of editing out the boring part, say, excuse me, that's kind of boring. Let's continue with this.
Which is exactly what you do to me. You're like, no, I'm bored. Let's do something else.
I do it more subtle than that, I hope.
You've done that a couple of times.
But it's also the art of making programming.
You're right.
And I'm reading the vibe of the chat room.
Yeah, like, and you're saying it's boring, and that makes everybody laugh. And that leads right into something that's not boring.
Oh, now you know all my secrets.
Okay. Well, that's your only secret, that's the only one you have.
The only one I have right there. That's all I got.
Bombshell.
How did that happen? Where'd that come out?
Where did what come out?
No, did you hear Bombshell? Did Bombshell fire?
That was me. I did that.
Oh, that was good. I was like, did I hit a button or something? How did that happen? That was really weird. That was a good one.
I threw you. That was a good one.
Very, very good.
I just didn't have the whoosh.
So thanks again, everybody, for supporting the show and supporting the 2.0 project. The hands down, the best group of people I've ever worked with in my life. So exciting every single day. Just to, you know, when there's not a lot of posts on like a Wednesday on the social, I'm always bummed. I'm like, where's everybody? No one's out here playing. No one wants to play in the sandbox.
we've got to go over remote item. So next week is Remote Item Awareness Week.
Okay.
On the show.
Now, remote item is where you can include something, an item from a remote feed. Is that correct?
Yes. Okay. And this goes into a larger discussion of the podcast GUID tag, which applies to many things. So I think, next week for sure, because I have a whole thing written out here that we didn't even get to about the GUID. So next week we need to do podcast. And by the way, well, we're not having any guests lately for a few weeks. We just need to cleanse the palate because we're really not a guest show. I mean, we do it because we need to have their products out there.
Just say, hey man, look, I'm really busy. You know, this podcast is a pain in the ass. I got to fix the API. We got no time for guests. Okay. We have no time for guests.
Yes. And it's boring.
Have I ever really said that was boring to you? Did I ever say that on the show? You said that on the show once. Did you take offense to it?
No, I don't care.
No. Did you think that, hey, maybe he's right. I'm just boring.
Yes.
Yeah. That's I'm going to tell you, when Dvorak does that shit to me, cause he does it all the time. I'll roll out his whole spectacular sequence of clips. And he's like, yeah, it was a little long. It was a little boring.
Yeah. Now, sometimes when I go on and on about some kind of intricacies of some, like, you know, I don't know, protocol or something like that, I bore myself.
And then you're
like, this is boring. I'm like, yeah, you know, it kind of is. Thanks.
No, but see, where I need help. So I'll help you with the boring. Where I need help.
Okay.
Is that I get off, I start on a topic and then I go off into Swaziland and I don't remember what the original topic was. And then I'm swimming and now I'm just spouting anecdotes. And then I'm like, hey, well, let me tell you about the time I interviewed Whitesnake. You know, that's when you got to bring me back. This is where I go really wrong. And I also interrupt way too much. I have very bad.
I throw you Tawny Katane in a life preserver and we're going to reel you back in.
Now, that'd be funny if she wasn't dead, Dave.
I didn't know she was dead. Yeah, sorry, she passed away. That was creepy.
No, it was alcohol, unfortunately, that did her.
Ew.
Yeah. Oh. It was weird. It was one time, it was a funny story, maybe. You remember that show Celebrity Rehab with Dr. Drew?
Vaguely, yeah.
So you know who Dr. Drew is, right?
The famous highly qualified doctor.
Right. So he had a reality show, which was his, because he has a clinic, a detox clinic. And so the people come in and did a reality show around it. And it was celebrity detox. And on one show, there were three people on one show that I knew. It was really disturbing. No. It was like Danny Bonaducci. It was Steven Adler from Guns N' Roses. And it was, Tawny.
It's probably not the music industry. It's probably more aptly named the music and rehabilitation industry, right?
I can't wait for the first podcasters to be strung out on smack, you know, just way too successful, you know, driving around in the Bentley.
We need to send out good karma and love to Stephen B.
Hope he's feeling better. Yes.
Part of my greatest hits album is chapter 3 of the greatest hits album is gastroenterological humor. And one time I was having I had to send in a stool sample to the gastroenterologist and it took days and days for him to get back. And I was like, you know, well, what's, I was getting kind of worried.
Of course.
Maybe this means something. So I, you know, I call, I called him up and the lady was like, we still don't have the results. I'll call him. And I said, I really need you guys to speed this shit up. And she, which I thought was genius, and she kind of got upset.
She didn't get the joke.
I'm like, hey, I'll be here all week.
All right, brother. Have yourself a great weekend. And what are we doing guaranteed next week?
We're doing podcast Do It Awareness Week.
Do It Awareness.
Yes.
Remote. All right, everybody. Thank you. If you're in the chat room streaming and boosting us live, we appreciate it. We'll be back next Friday for the board meeting of Podcasting 2.0.
You have been listening to Podcasting 2.0. Visit podcastindex.org for more information.
Boost, boost, boost.
Go podcasting!
Boost, Instagram.
Boost! Boost!